John the Baptist is in prison. He was put there by the corrupt Herod, soon to be beheaded at the behest of a child who is being manipulated by her mother. And here, our crazy uncle of a wilderness prophet who shouted in the desert is squelched. He's confined. He's cut off. From where he is being held, he sends a question out to Jesus. That child that leapt in the womb at the fetus Jesus' presence to baptizing that same cousin at the start of Jesus' ministry, John has a rather shocking question. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? It's important to sit with that question and to not rush past it. John's not a villain. He has faith, and despite his propensity for eating bugs and wearing hair, he's not a fool, but he is human. He is tired. He's been imprisoned by a violent regime. The Messiah that he announced was supposed to bring justice with fire and an axe. That Messiah was supposed to topple unjust systems decisively. John expected forceful change. But here he finds himself, jailed by the same people the Messiah should be overthrowing. And as he sits in prison, he hears of healings and shared meals and mercy. Mercy that is gratuitously given, mercy rather than the expected violent uprising. And so, in his absolute humanness, he asks the question that I know that I have thought a time or two. Really? Is this it? Is this the best you've got, God? This is your big plan for transformation? Why are these corrupt people still in power? Where is the flourishing that we were promised? Now, Jesus doesn't respond with a heady theological argument. He doesn't hide behind his titles. He answers by pointing to the lived reality that they can all see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And then Jesus adds a gentle but a piercing ending. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. In other words, blessed is the one who can accept that this is transformation, even if it comes in an unexpected way. Now this Sunday, today, Gaudete Sunday, is marked by joy. We light the rose candle. I get to wear pink one of the two times in the whole church year. We hear echoes of rejoicing, but it's a particular kind of joy. It's not the glittery, sentimental joy that is too often piped into malls and grocery stores and elevators this time of year. Gaudete joy arises in the midst of our waiting and our uncertainty and our discomfort. It is joy that dares to believe that God is already at work, even when the world around us does not yet look the way we hoped. And that's where our gospel meets us, especially in the heart of Advent. Now, we talk a lot about transformation this time of year. And turning through the channels or your streaming services, it is unavoidable to see Christmas movies. And these movies provide transformation in bucket loads. nearly every one of the most memorable films hinges on someone being changed. Ebenezer Scrooge, The Grinch, Buddy's dad in Elf, Mr. Shirley in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Bill Murray's character in Scrooged. And even in Rudolph, Santa stops being close-minded and trying to make Rudolph into something that he's not. The change may be reluctant, it may be painful, but it is unmistakable. We spend entire movies waiting for something important to change inside a character. Without it, there's just no point in watching. And I will say that I'm first to roll my eyes at some of the sentimentality of Hallmark movies, but they contain that deeper truth that transformation is at the heart of this season. It gets uncomfortable, though. We readily look out to the world and we see flaws and want transformation to happen in other people, in politicians and institutions and frustrating family members and maybe our annoying neighbors and probably, definitely, that person in front of us in line at the grocery store paying with pennies. We want the world fixed. But when transformation turns its gaze towards us and our own lives, our habits, our priorities, our comforts, we step back a little bit. We grow hesitant because real change is hard. It disrupts routines. It costs something. It asks us to let go of the illusion that we are already perfectly finished products. John's question echoes that tension. He wants the world transformed, but the way that Jesus is transforming it doesn't match his expectations. Jesus refuses to meet violence with violence. Instead, he chooses restoration over domination, mercy over coercion, healing over control. That kind of transformation is slower, it's quieter, but it's much harder to dismiss once you've witnessed it. Jesus then turns to the crowds and speaks about John himself, not to shame John for doubting, but to honor his courage. John is not weak for asking a question. He is brave for daring to ask it at all. And Jesus insists that God's reign is not about status or show. It's not about who looks impressive or powerful. It's about who is willing to be part of the work that God is doing, even when that work pulls us out of our comfort zones. That brings us back to Gaudete, to joy. This joy does not deny suffering or gloss over pain. It arises because something real is happening. God is not waiting for the perfect moment or the perfect people. God is already moving among the sick and the excluded, the forgotten and the poor. God is breathing life into places that we have written off as dead. God is revealing goodness in a world that often feels cynical and exhausted. This kind of hope is neither naive nor self-indulgent. It refuses both despair, the belief that nothing can change, and arrogance, the belief that we alone can fix everything. And instead, it roots itself in trust that God is already at work, inviting us to join rather than to control the outcome. Advent asks us not only what we hope will change out there, but what might need to change in us. What assumptions need loosening? What fears need naming? What comforts need releasing? That kind of reflection can feel really risky. But Jesus promises that those who do not stumble over this unexpected Messiah, those who allow themselves to be transformed, will find blessing there. Blessing. And so today, on this Sunday of rejoicing, we hold joy and challenge together. We rejoice because God's transformation is real and already unfolding. And we allow ourselves to be unsettled enough to ask John's question honestly. Are you the one who is to come? The answer may not look like what we imagined. But if we pay attention to the healing and restoration that is already happening, we may discover that God is closer and our joy deeper than we ever dared to hope.